From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. It's good to have you joining us today as the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister of Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church, is with us to let the Bible speak.
Hello and welcome to our gospel program. I would like to start a brief little series of studies based on the second chapter of Ephesians. Our first study is going to concentrate upon the first verses of the chapter. Let me read them to you. And you hath he quickened. That's an old word meaning made alive. So we could read that. And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our style of life, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, the theme of these studies is going to be just what is a Christian. And in order to answer the question, we must first go back to what a Christian was before he became a Christian. And these three verses in Ephesians chapter 2 reveal the spiritual state of those Christians in the church at Ephesus before their conversion. What is said here of the Ephesians is true of us all by nature. This is the state we were born in, and in which we will remain, unless we experience the saving grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very important doctrine. Our eternal salvation depends upon our receiving of this truth regarding our sinfulness. First of all, the Ephesians were in a state of sin when Paul came to the city. The double term that Paul uses here, he speaks of them being dead in trespasses and sins. This double term refers to sin within and sin on the outside. They were dead in trespasses and sins. This is a reference both to the root and to the fruit of sin in the life of man. We trespass because of the sinful nature that we have. There are trespasses in our lives because there is sin in our hearts. We must deal with the heart if we are to see a change in our lives. Mere religious activity cannot do that. No more than mere washing in soap and water can cure cancer. Now notice the degree of the sinfulness that there was in the lives of these Ephesians. And of course, remember, in looking at them, we're looking at ourselves. How spiritually diseased we are. There is no life. We are dead in trespasses and sins. There are three deaths in the New Testament which illustrates this doctrine. In Luke chapter 8, the verses 51 to 55, we read about a young girl who was only 12 years of age, who died. Then in Luke chapter 7, the verses 11 to 12, we come across a young man who is being carried to the graveyard. He's dead. A young male adult. And then again, there is a third case, and that's found in John 11, the verses 39 to 44. Perhaps the best known of the raising of the dead that the Lord Jesus miraculously wrought. The name of the man was Lazarus, and he was dead for 3 days, and was already buried. But all were dead. Now there was a differing degree of corruption. One had just died when the Saviour raised her, the young girl. One was dead just a day, and the corpse was on its way to the graveyard. That was a young son of the widow of Nain. But then there was Lazarus, and he had been dead for 3 days. But even though there were differences in the state of corruption of that body, all were equally dead. And so it is with men and women. Some give obvious signs of greater sinful corruption than others, but all mankind is equally dead. Sin within produces death. James chapter 1 and the verse 15 reads, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The spiritual death within brings forth the harvest of spiritual death in our lives. The human heart can only bring forth this one fruit. That's why we need a new heart. God says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." That's Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 26. This is the new birth. This is what it means to be born again. This is that which Paul speaks of when he says, "You hath he quickened," or made alive. That's what the Ephesians had experienced. They had been dead before the conversion, but they had now been made alive. This is the need of every one of us today. The Lord Jesus said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no heaven without this quickening, which the Ephesians to whom Paul is writing experience. Let me say something more. Being dead in sin meant that the Ephesians were, before conversion, slaves of sin. Listen to how Paul describes their former state. "For in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Perhaps there's a term or two here that we need to explain. The unconverted man walks in step with the world. Its habits, its pleasures, its appetites, and its lustings. Why, that's what the unconverted man desires. Paul says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh." As I've pointed out a couple of times, the word conversation means the lifestyle that we adopt. We were all, Paul says, engaged in the behavior that the Ephesians were engaged in before their conversion. Note also that unconverted man's walk is not only sinful, but he walks according to the prince of the power of the air. No person likes to hear this. They may accept that they sin a little, but they will object to being told that they are under the power and influence of the devil. But that's the teaching of the Bible. Furthermore, it is demonstrated daily before our eyes. The devil is called by the Lord Jesus a murderer and a liar. He is the father of both. There are few who do not support murder in one form or another. From political murders to the abortion of the unborn, there are multitudes who give support to murder. What about lies? We see the evidence of the influence of the devil all around us in every sphere of society. That was the state in which the members of the Ephesian church were before they were rescued by the grace of God. But look again. There is something much more alarming stated here by the apostle. Paul says that while the Ephesians were in this state of sin, they were by nature the children of wrath. Verse 3. Please look up these verses that I give you, because I want you to be assured that what I am saying to you is in fact what the Bible teaches. To be children of wrath means that they were subject to the wrath of God, walking under its deep shadow continually. Few give any thought to this, chiefly because the judgment of God has all but been erased from the pulpits. It is not fashionable to tell men and women that there is a hell, that it is to that dreadful place sinners who reject Christ and his gospel are going for all eternity. But no matter how unpopular and unfashionable it is today to preach such a doctrine, Paul preached it, and so too did the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are some of his words on the matter. They're taken from Luke chapter 16, the verse 22 and the verse 23. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Dare any deny what Christ so plainly taught? This state in which Paul says the Ephesians were was a state of condemnation. They were children of disobedience, and so they became children of wrath. Living in disobedience, they were bringing wrath upon their heads. That's how we all are by nature. So says Paul. The phrase means by birth. We were born sinners under the wrath of God. This is the result of Adam's transgression. We have inherited his sinful nature and the condemnation under which his fall brought all his posterity. A right understanding of this truth will cause the sinner to see his need of Christ. Christ is not an accessory without which we can easily get along very successfully. No, being under God's wrath, we need a Redeemer who can deliver us from that wrath. This explains why Christ suffered at the cross. There, he died, the just for the unjust. He took our place. He endured what his people deserved to endure. The sufferings of Christ were more than that which was visible to man. He bore the wrath of God for his people. Reject him, and you will bear that wrath yourself through all eternity. We're going to return to the second chapter of Ephesians the next time I'm with you. Please do read the chapter for yourself. Thank you for joining with me, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to make contact with us. The literature is entirely without obligation, and has but one aim, that of helping you understand more clearly God's way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you'd like to receive it, do send an email to info@ltbs.tv. If you have any further questions regarding how you can be saved and know your sins forgiven, do send us an email at that same address. We're your servants for Christ's sake, and we'll count it a great privilege to give you counsel from God's Word so that you'll be able to say truly, "It is well with my soul." So do remember our email address, info@ltbs.tv. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you. And don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.